Okay, tonight's show I want to discuss some inyanim that pertain to Shavasa Batama specifically, and some topics that pertain to every fast day. But we'll first talk a little bit about Shavasa Batama from a historical point of view, and then we'll see how the historical point of view has a major halachic ramification. So let's just go back. What exactly is Shavasa Batama? So there's a Mishnah at the end of Maseches Tainis. The Mishnah tells us, and number one, Chamisha Devarim Irus Avisein B'Shivasa Betamos. Five things occurred to our forefathers on Shivasa Betamos, V'Chamisha B'Tisha B'Av. And likewise, five things happened on Tisha B'Av. And then the Mishnah lays out, what are the five things that happened on Shivasa Betamos? Says the Mishnah, B'Shivasa Betamos Ishtabra Aluchas. The Aluchas Rishonis that Moshe Rabbeinu broke, that took place on Shivasa Betamos. Secondly, Ubatal HaTomit, they stopped bringing the carbon tomit on Shivasa Betamos. The Hufka Ha'ir, and the wall protecting Yerushalayim was broken. The Sarif Apostamos Es HaTayra, and Apostamos burnt the Tayra. The Hemet Tzalem Beichal, and different Girsus in the Gemara and the Rishayim, who put up the Tzalem, but a Tzalem and Avodah Zarah was put up in the Heichal. So the Mishnah says these are five things that occurred on Shivasa Betamos, and because of these five things, we obviously have Shavuos Betamos on the calendar as a fast day. Now, tonight's not the time to get into it. Maybe we spoke about it in the past, perhaps. But if you look at the five things that happened, so a lot of them seem to be connected to enemies. Right? Apostamus was bad. The Hufkair was bad. But Nishtabra Haluchai seems to stand out a little bit. Right? What is actually the connection between Nishtabra Haluchais and all the other things, different pshatim that are given? There's a Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara in Erevin says, if not for Moshe Rabbeinu breaking the Luchais, no enemy would ever have been able to harm us. So lefi that, it's actually beautiful. Nishtabra Haluchais is the first thing. Because without that, the rest four would have never happened. So all the four are all a toitzah. They all a byproduct out of the fact that we lost the Luchais, and that's why all these other things happened. So we know that a bunch of things bad happened on Shavuos Betamos. So we're going to discuss tonight, just for a little bit, some of the things. So the first thing the Gemara says, number two, is in Tainet Afchav Ches, says the Gemara, Batal HaTamid. How do you know the Talmud was stopped being brought? So the Gemara says, Gemara. It's a tradition. We know that somehow, although it doesn't say it anywhere in the Psukim, we know that what happened on Shavuos Betamos was they stopped bringing the Karban Tumim. And the Mefarshim speak about what was so special about the Karban Tumim, so we know the godless of the Karban Tumim was the fact that it was consistent. The fact that you brought it every day, twice a day, was consistency. I think there's Yushalmi that they call it. Yushalmi says that the way the Karban Tumim used to work was that you brought one in the morning and one in the afternoon. So all the Averis that you did throughout the day were Nischaper by the Karban Tumim in the afternoon. And all the Averis that took place overnight, you obtained Kapara from the Karban Tumim in the morning. So the moment Klai Yisrael stopped bringing the Karban Tumim, that's it. All their Averis piled up and they were subjected to punishment. That's what some of Farshim say. But I want to talk about the next case, the next thing in the Mishnah, Hufka Ha'ir. The wall was broken through. Frekti Gemara B'Yudzainave. Did it really happen on the 17th of Oksiv? We look in the Navi. The Navi tells us, not like that. The Navi says, B'Chodesh Harvi in the fourth month. What's the fourth month? So we know it's Nisan Iyar Sivan Tammuz. That's the fourth month. And it says, B'Tisha L'Chodesh. On the ninth day of the month, V'Yichazak HaRa'av B'Iyar. The hunger was very strong. Uksiv B'Asrein, it says right after that, V'Tiboka HaIyar. The city was broken. So how could you tell me that the wall of the city surrounding Yerushalayim broke on the 17th? It happened on the 9th. We have a pasuk in Navi. Omar, Rav answers, Loikash, it's not a contradiction. Kam b'rishayne, kam b'shniyah. You're forgetting, we had two batei mikdash. So one Beis HaMikdash was one date, and one was a different date. Explains the Gemara, which one was which? The Tanya, we learned the Braisa, b'rishayne. The first Beis HaMikdash, which is what the Navi is referring to. The Navi didn't talk about second Beis HaMikdash. The Navi was before the second Beis HaMikdash even existed. So when the Navi describes what happened in Shavuos Betamos, that was in the first Beis HaMikdash. The Tanya, b'rishayne, hofkoir, b'tisha, betamos. The first Beis HaMikdash, it happened twice. Twice the city, the wall around the city was broken. So in the first Beis HaMikdash, that happened on the ninth day. The second time it happened on Shavuos Betamos. So we have two reoccurring themes, different dates on the Jewish calendar. So if you want to know why we commemorate Shavuos Betamos, the answer is because that was what happened on Bayi Sheni. So the obvious question is, so why don't we also commemorate the ninth day? If it happened twice, and there's some significance to the fact that the wall was broken through, so why don't you have to commemorate it once on the 9th for the first Beis HaMikdash and once on the 17th for the second Beis HaMikdash? So we'll see that that's a possibility, lahalach. But according to our Gemara and Tainis, the idea of Tibok HaYir happened twice, different days of the calendar, again, same month, different days, depending on which Beis HaMikdash we're discussing. There's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches Amid Beis. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah says like this. Tzayim Ervi. That's the famous Gemara we've spoken about it many times, where the Gemara goes to all the different fast days. It says, what happened on this day? Why is this a fast day? Why is that a fast day? It gives you all the reasons for each one of the fast days. Again, only the fast days that are described by the Navi. Tainus Esther is not brought down in the Navi. Those fast days that are described in the Navi. So the Pasuk says that the Tzayim Ervi. What's the fast of the fourth? So we know already the fourth means the fourth month. That's again, that's Tammuz. Says the Gemara Zeh test Tammuz. That's the ninth day of Tammuz, Shabbo, Hufkayir. That's when the wall was broken through. Shemek, what's the Pasuk? Petisha l'chodesh, v'chazek harav b'ir, v'lo lechem l'am, v'tibo kayir. So the Gemara seems to be saying in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that on the ninth day of Tammuz, and that's the fast, the Tzoyim Harivi, the fast of the fourth month, which is what we call the fast of Tammuz, is based on the ninth, which was when the city was broken, the walls broken through, as described by the Navi. So Tosfos and all the Rishonim, Tosfos and all the Pekel, the Ran and the Ritva, all the Rishonim, they say, well, what's going on with this Gemara? You walk away from this Gemara, you feel that the reason why we fast in this month is merely to commemorate the first Beis HaMikdash's breaking through, which was on the ninth. So Tosfos right away says the number four. This is Tosfos from Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches. Tosfos, Ahayna B'Rishayna. This Gemara has to be read with the Gemara that we saw already in Titus. That this whole din is only talking about the first Beis HaMikdash. Avo B'Shniyo Hufka B'Yadzayin. No, no. Second Beis HaMikdash was Tak on the 17th. U'Mishim Hachi Avdirin B'Yadzayin Tanis. That's why we, says Tosfos, we in the times of the Rishayim, why do we fast Shavuos of Tammuz? That's because we go with the second Beis HaMikdash. V'Ach B'Raisa Masnisim B'Yushalmi. However, says Tosfos, and this is brought down by many of the Rishayim, but there's a Yerushalmi, an unbelievable Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi disagrees with the Bavli, and the Yerushalmi says no. The Garcinim be bo yudzayim betamus. The Yerushalmi says that both by Yisrishon and by Yisheni both had a wall broken through, and they both happened on the 17th day. Now that's great. So now we understand why we're fasting Shavuos betamus to commemorate the by Yisrishon and by Yisheni. What's the problem? It's against the Navi. The Navi says it happened on the 9th. So listen to what Taisus writes. Again, he's quoting Yerushalmi. Says Taisus, "V'avagav dechsiv b'kro b'tishah l'chodesh, kilkul cheshbonis ha'Yerushalmi." It was a mistake. Unbelievable thing to say. Says Yerushalmi, it was a printing mistake in the Navi. Why? He explains. Upliga ashasti don. Yerushalmi argues on our Gemara because our Gemara told us very clearly in Maseches Tainis that there were two different occurrences. Bayis Rishon was on the 9th. Bayis Sheni was on the 17th. Says Yerushalmi, they all happened on the same day. The Navi says not like that. Says Yerushalmi, and Tais explains the Ratzaloima. The mitoch tirdosam tou bechesbainim. They made a mistake. They thought it happened on the 9th. It really wasn't. It was really the 17th. You know, I guess this is one of the earliest makaris for fake news, right? It's not true. It's not true. The Navi says that the wall broke on the 9th. It wasn't true. They were all soaking in memory. It was the middle of a war. We were trying to survive, hold on to Eretz Yisrael, hold on to the Beis HaMikdash. So we weren't exactly meticulous with every date. Says the Yerushalmi, they got it wrong. So why don't we change it? Says Tosfos. V'loi rotzeh ha'pasuk l'shanes mikemoi shehayu sevurim. The Navi wrote what the people thought was right, even though it wasn't actually correct. This is when the Navi said it. And the Navi writes, when Yirmiyahu Navi wrote it, he thought we're going to keep it the way people thought. It's an unbelievable Yerushalmi. Now, besides for his... What? I don't know. He doesn't have a proof for it. He just says it on his own. He just assumes that this is the way it is. It's unbelievable. So the assumption would be like Tosfos, that the Bavli says that's not what happened. There were two different storylines and two different... Says Yerushalmi, no. Everything happened on the same day in history. Same day in history, the reoccurring themes. Now, there's a problem. Because the Mishnah tells us, the Gemara says in Tainis, that Tisha B'Av is special because it's called Hochfulu Atzaris. The reason why we're machmir so much on Tisha B'Av was not only did Tisha B'Av have a tzara, it had the what we call a double whammy. The same tzara was repeated twice. Why? Because both Bais Rishon and Bais Sheni were on the same day. So the Achrenim have a kasha, according to this Yerushalmi, so was Shavuos B'Tammuz. It had the breaking of the wall, both Bais Rishon and Bais Sheni. According to the Bavli, it's not a kasha, because according to the Bavli, it had a reoccurring theme, but not on the same day. One was on the 9th, and one was on the 17th. But according to the Yerushalmi, the same day, 17, we had the same exact thing, the wall was broken through, so why isn't it considered Hochvulatzos? So the Achrenim have this kasha, Turiyev and other Achrenim deal with this kasha. Now, so most of us say this is a very interesting historical debate, but has no major halachic ramifications. But that's not so. If you look in Shulchan Aruch number 5, in Simit Tov Kuv Mem Tes, that's where the Shulchan Aruch discusses Hilchas Tainis, or parts of Hilchas Tainis. He writes the following. He's starting off with the Gemara's Kasha. It says in the Navi that the wall was broken on the ninth day. says Taisus Amos Tana B'Tishba. We don't fast the ninth. Ella B'Shivasa. Why? B'Bnei says the Shulchan Aruch. Shav B'Shayin Hufka B'Tish. It reads like a Rishon. You don't think this is the Mechaber Shulchan Aruch? We're used to seeing, you know, halacha fact. He's giving you a whole. He's giving you a pilpul over here. Okay, he took it straight out of the Ramban. That's fine. But he's giving you more of like a Lom Neshebekin over here. Says the Shulchan Aruch. Why are we fasting on the 17th? If the Navi says it happened on the 9th, says the Shulchan Aruch. B'Bnei Shav B'Shayin Hufka B'Tishba. That happened the first place of Midrash. But Kimish B'Shnei Hufka B'Shviva Asaba. But since the second base of Midrash, it happened on the 17th, Tiknu L'Sanat B'Shiva Asaba. We fast the 17th. Why? Mishum D'Churbin B'Yisheni Chomur Lon. Because obviously B'Yisheni is much more chomer to us. Why? Because it lasts. The Churbin is much longer. Churbin B'Yisheni was only 70 years. Churbin B'Yisheni we're still feeling. So if you had to take a pick, so the he's really quoting a Ramban. The Ramban says, you had to take a pick, which one do you want to commemorate? You want to commemorate the one that you consider more severe, which is Bayashin. So the question is, why do you have to pick and choose? Have both. So the Maggid of Rome speaks out at number 6. V'lo yiratzu lugs at tainis gam b'tishba. Why don't you just have a fast on both days? Fast the 9th and the fast the 17th. Because the aim atrichan al tzibi yosim yidai. It's too much. Expect people to fast twice in 1 month. That's asking a lot. That's expecting too much from the people. So people ask, what are you talking about? Don't we do this on, in, what do you call it? We have this in Tishrei. We have Tzom Gedalia, and we turn around in Yom Kippur. So the simple answer is that that's the Torah. You know, there's only so much we can do. But nonetheless, this is the Magen Avraham. Again, he's quoting a Ramban. But then he throws in an interesting line. V'im kein, bal nefesh yisane gam b'tisha. Says the Magen Avraham, if this is true, it means in Lomdis the Ramban is saying we should really fast twice. But we can't. It's too hard. But says the Magen Avraham, if you can do it, you're an individual who's a bal nefesh, you can do it, then you should. Meaning, in Lomdis, there are really two, we'll call, two reasons for a fast day, one on the 9th and one on the 17th, respectively. Well, the reason why we don't do both is because it's too much. But if you can handle it, and you're, again, we couldn't make this for the mass. That's too hard to expect regular people. But you're a bal nefesh. You're a frum guy. So then says the Magen Avraham, you should fast. So it's interesting. If you look in the Mishnah Brura, he doesn't even bring this down. Now, we'll see why in a second. So I once gave the shen. A guy told me, yeah, he remembers once reading in the Hamodiyah. The Hamodiyah writes, on the 9th of Tammuz, some people fast. That's where it's brought down. It's brought down in the Maggid of Rambam. Okay. It's in the Hamodiyah paper also. But the fast of Sheni Chamishu. What?
We have the other fast of
Sheni Chamishu. Right. That was, again, that's only Sheni Chamishu after Pesach and Sukkot. But that is not so widely done either, right? So listen to the end of the Maggid of Rambam. Miu b'yushalmi isa shebrishayna ha'yugamki m'shiva asur ela shebnei hatzaris ta'u b'cheshmin. What does the Maggid of Rambam want with ending off with Yushalmi? He says, but don't forget there's Yushalmi. What did Yushalmi say? Yushalmi said that both happened on Shiva Asabatamas. Says the Machtz HaShekel number 7, Ulefizeh, Gambal Nefesh, Ain Tzarech Lahachmeh. Says the Bach Tzashekel, what did the Magen Avraham want by ending off with Yushalmi? He's reminding you that whether or not you should fast on the 9th day is Talal Machloik, is Bavli Yushalmi. According to the Bavli, according to the Ramban, maybe you should fast on the 9th. We didn't institute it because it was too much. But if you want to do it, by all means, you're doing something good. But according to Yushalmi, fasting on the 9th is a waste of time. Nothing happened on the 9th day. There was no Hufkair on the 9th day. It was a misprint in the Navi. So says the Machtz HaShekel, explain the Magen Avraham, it's very Gishmak. So the Machloikis Bavli Yushalmi is not a historical question. Did it happen the 9th? Did it happen the 17th? It has major halachic ramifications. If you assume like Yushalmi, there's not even a Baal Nefesh to fast on the 7th, on the 9th. If you hold like the Bavli, then there's at least a Baal Nefesh. I mentioned, Mr. Brewer doesn't even bring it down. He doesn't even bring down this Magen Avraham Baal Nefesh Yahachmir. Could be Chashish for the Yushalmi. So even if you want to be a from a guy, according to Yushalmi, it's a waste of time. Yeah, they talk about it. They talk about what was so special about Hufkayir. The Mefarshim talk about this already. What was so special? So they say this must have been the Aschalta, that was the beginning of the end. Just like Asar B'Tavis. Even Asar B'Tavis was for a bunch of years until they actually brought down. But that was it's the Aschalta. We have this idea that we like to fast the Aschalta. And the Paiskim give the Hischalta a lot of chashivas. Okay, in Shavasim Batamas we're going to talk about anyways, but Asar B'Tavis, we always quote the famous Ber Halach, which might also be a misprint. We mentioned that before. That the Ber Halach says that Asar B'Tavis, you have to treat like the 9 days. Why? Because that was the Hischalta of the Churban. That's the beginning of the Churban. So whenever things are the beginning, they treat it much more severe. So Halach L'maisa, what do we do with this Magen Avraham? So most people don't keep it. So Rabbi Yitzchak Abadi in a Sefer or Yitzchak, he writes like this, 7b, he says, This Magen Avraham that a Bal Nefesh should fast on the ninth day is a real chumrah. That's a real form of chumrah. Why? He says, first of all, haloi kol adin shal tainis b'yadzayin ein echiv el limrotzu. We've spoken many times about, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, that all the fast days, as long as we're not being oppressed by the Goyim, we're really up to us. So we became very firm people and we all decided to fast. So that's level number one. The mere fasting Shabbos Batamos is really begeder chumrah. So he says, and on top of that, you want to add another chumrah. Aval tes mi'ilum loyrotzu. No one ever adapt. No one ever sat down and decided to fast the ninth day. Who exactly makes this decision? Does every shul decide we want in, or does every individual make the decision? Then he writes, "Avol af im kol yochid yochel kabbalat." Let's say even individual can do it. Ach minayin lo nulos is din shal tainis yom kizesh shal chazal b'chol itik nabat tainis la'achar b'ayjeni. They never instituted this. After the Beis Hamikdash was rebuilt, that was it. The ninth day became no longer a day of tainis. The evsher, he says, a lumdus of interesting lumdus. The takonin rishonish is anu babiz man churban rishon ad shidin de b'ayjeni lebotel gam. Maybe not. Yesh lodin. We spoke about this also many times. Rabbi Salvation discusses also. What did the Jewish people do on Tisha B'Av between Bais Rishon and Bais Sheni? Did they keep it? Didn't they keep it? What status did it have? It's a discussion based on the Rambam. So he wants to suggest, let's say like this. After Bais Rishon, so there was no reason to mourn Tes Tammuz. So that was it. After Bais Rishon was built, so we didn't think about any more Tes Tammuz. He says, maybe not. Maybe they kept it. They kept it the way it was. Maybe Tes Tammuz stay forever as a day that should be a fast day. So when there was a Beis HaMikdash, we didn't do it because the Simcha overpowered it. But when the Beis HaMikdash was gone again, so maybe it reverts back to being a Yom HaTainus. He thinks it's a very big Chumrah. And then he quotes the Yushalmi, because according to Yushalmi, it's a really big Chumrah. There's no reason for keeping it at all. Again, halavai we can keep Shavuos Batamos properly, and on top of that, to keep the ninth day. I think today it would be very, very not practical for most of us to fast 2 days. There's a comment by the Aruch HaShulchan over here, number 8. But the Aruch HaShulchan goes through a similar conversation as the Shulchan Aruch. He writes, Avagav de Bais Rishon Hufka Yerushalayim, even though it happened in Bais Rishon B'Tisha B'Tamos, K'chli B'Malachim Sham, Mikom Akam L'Titnu Ba'atayin Esrach B'Yizayin. They made it on Yizayin. Shebishniya B'Hufka Yiv, Etzlonu Chomilun Chorm Ba'ishen. For us, Chorim Ba'ishen is more severe. The me'oz nisdam lenu v'nispaznu la'arba rucha sa'olam. That's when we got scattered and spread out to the four corners of the world. Well, therefore, l'sakin shesana b'ayu b'yudzayin in goyz malatzi, but to do both is not practical. So there's a sefer Tehillah L'Yoinah. It's a terrific sefer. If you ever want to learn Maseches Tainis or Maseches Megillah with more Ion, and you don't have so much time, get the sefer Tehillah L'Yoinah. It's a contemporary person. He brings down all the raid. It's a Likud sefer. Terrific, terrific job this fellow does on every Gemara, every Rashi, every Tosfos. All the raid you need to know to learn the sugya. So on that, on Maseches Tainis, he calls a hakir. He writes the number on the Yesh line. What's pshat in this Aruch HaShulchan? What does he mean that Churban Ba'ishein was Muhammad because that's when we got spread out? What's the significance of that? So he says, Yesh line. Im kavanos he de etzem goes v'Ba'ishein l'chomer tvei. The reason why the Golus is more severe is Mishum to Bais Rishon like Galina Rak LeBavel. Because where did we go after Bais Rishon? After Churban, we didn't go to America, we didn't go to Europe, we went to Bavel, one location, where the Jews basically lived in two places. They lived in Eretz, they lived in Bavel. So therefore, after Bais Rishon, then we went all over. We went to Africa and Europe and all over the world. So he says that's not true. He says Vitzeret Sarachin Kotan. The Bais Rishon Golu Yud Shvatim. He says that we lost 10 tribes after Churban Bais Rishon. We still don't have them. That's a pretty big loss. The Pashim shot is that we're still feeling the Golus. That's like what the Shulchan Aruch sounded like. Why is Bais Rishon more? Because we're still in it. It doesn't sound like that in the words. The words sound like the first pshat, that we're spread out. And our being spread out, that sounds like that itself is a reason to mourn. It's already a musa shmuz. The fact that we're so spread out in different places. This is really how Minhagim became so funny, because people live all over different places and everyone does different things. It used to be back then, everyone was in one community, everyone followed the same thing. So it sounds like from him that he's not sure how to learn the Aruch HaShulchan. I would venture to believe the Aruch HaShulchan means his first pshat. The fact that we're scattered itself is part of the Churban. The Yeshua's Yaakov has a nice pshat where he suggests the reason why we don't count Bais Rishon anymore is because the Averis of Bais Rishon we were really neschaper from. What was one of the major problems of Bais Rishon was Avodah Zarah. After Bais Sheni, the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah was removed. So we're done with that. So we close that chapter. Now we focus on the new chapter. Now the Sinas Chinam problems. That's why we only focus on Bais Sheni, not on Bais Rishon. So that's just a historical background to what exactly happened in Shavuos Batamos versus Bais Rishon and Bais Sheni. Okay, now we'll get into Halacha l'maisa. So the million-dollar question that always comes up every year Shavuot b'Tammuz is, when do the 3 weeks start? When do the 3 weeks start? Everyone knows the 3 weeks carry a whole list of restrictions. When do the 3 weeks really begin? So what are the possibilities? So on a regular year, not this year, on a regular year, let's say, for example, Shavuot b'Tammuz would be Monday. Okay, so there's two tzadim. Either Shavuot b'Tammuz starts Sunday night, I'm sorry, the 3 weeks start Sunday night, or 3 weeks start Monday morning, whenever the fast starts. The fast day, we know, starts after Alois HaShach. So the question is, when do the Inuye of the 3 weeks start? Do they start the night before, after Shkia or Tzeis? Or do they start the next morning? What's the nafkamina? The whole night before. Can you take a haircut, take a shower, make a chasana, listen to music, all the other things. This year, it's a little less negeh, because we know Shavuot b'Tammuz is Taka Shabbos. So the first question would be, what about Matzei Shabbos? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva. In this regard, Rav Moshe is by far the minority opinion. Kamat, everyone disagrees with Rav Moshe, but Rav Moshe has a tshuva number 11. Rav Moshe was asked the following question: Nishalti mi didi hagoyin of Menachem Palik b'shnas Tov Shin Yud, 1950. You'll see why the date is important. Shechal Shivasa b'Tammuz b'yoy malaf. Shivasa b'Tammuz fell out on a Sunday, not a nitche. Shivasa b'Tammuz fell out on a real Sunday. Im yesh lazis nesum b'leil Motzei Shabbos Kodesh early Yudzayim b'Tammuz. That's, now you know why it was 1950. I wish they make chasas on Motzei Shabbos. It's a lot better than making chasas during the week. But they used to make chasas on Motzei Shabbos. So you wanted to know, can you make a chasas on Motzei Shabbos the eve going into Shavuot b'Tammuz? So Rav Moshe wrote, Ve'eshavti shelatzerich yesh lahater. Rav Moshe thought it's mutter. Why? So Rav Moshe d'olcheir tali zeh machloikis b'shoinim. He says, tali in a very fundamental machloikis b'shoinim. When do all fast days really start? So you tell me, what do you mean, when do they start? Everyone knows, they start the next morning. Says, no, it's not true. That's a machloikis mishoinim. Im atanis maskel b'layla v'oim aneinu b'or hatanis de labala mor, tanis tafir alef, oit she'edayim mishum shatanis maskel b'baikir. Rav Moshe makes a assumption, which is also debatable in the Acharedim. Rav Moshe assumes whenever the fast day starts, that's when the 3 weeks start. And we have a machloikis mishoinim. When does the fast day start? Does the fast day really start at night? It's just as a heter to eat till the next morning? Or no, the fast day doesn't start till the next morning. So Rav Moshe's assumption is whenever the fast day starts, that's when the 3 weeks start. So Dr. Rav Moshe, since it's a machloikis mishoinim when the fast day starts, and something like this, and the whole 3 weeks is only a minute, Dr. Rav Moshe, you can go lekula and you can assume it doesn't start till Alois HaShach. We mentioned in the past that there are those who think that Rav Moshe only wrote this by chasanas. So we already quote, Rabbi Ephraim Gilbert writes in a tshuva from Rav Moshe that's not true. Rav Moshe meant this for anything, for haircuts and for shaving and for music, for everything that you need to do, you can also do it the night before. So on a regular year, everyone say Mechon this Rav Moshe. Again, many, if I'm not mistaken, I think Rabbi Salavechik also disagrees, it says Eliezer disagrees. Oh, come on, everyone disagrees with this Rav Moshe. But this year, says Rav Moshe, number 12 on the bottom, Avo b'yudzayim b'tamu shechol b'shabas kodesh v'nitchol yim aleph. But let's say you have like this year, where Shavuot b'Tammuz on the calendar is Shabbos. We're not gonna live Shavuot b'Tammuz until Sunday. So Dr. Moshe Poshlin is Daiti, Sheish La'asim, Mishum Dedine Ben Amitzarim, Cholu Oid B'Shabbos. Says Rav Moshe, because what's my lumdus? My lumdus is that whenever the Dine 3 weeks start at a certain point. So Dr. Moshe, they start even on the Shabbos. I am not fasting till Sunday. That's because that's when you fast. But the Etzem Shem Atainus is ready on Shabbos. So according to Rav Moshe, let's say Matzah Shabbos this week, you want to take a haircut, you can't. Even according to Rav Moshe. According to everyone else, you for sure can't. Because the eve before, you never roll out. But even according to the Mekel, which is Rav Moshe, this year you also want to be able to. Now what does Rav Moshe mean where he says we're already knowing 3 week things on Shabbos? What's he referring to? We don't shave on Shabbos, we don't take haircuts on Shabbos, we don't make chasanas on Shabbos. What's he referring to? So the only thing he's referring to is Shachianu. There's a shaila whether or not we make Shachianu during the 3 weeks. There's a shaila on top of that, can you say Shachianu on Shabbos? So Rav Moshe must be referring to the Shachianu. That some people don't say Shachianu, and that would be applicable already on this Shabbos. It's like Rav Moshe, so you see, 3 weeks already started. So therefore, says Rav Moshe, since the 3 weeks already started, so it's Pasha. So Allah l'maisa, this year, there's really not too much wiggle room. This year, Matzah Shabbos, you gotta make sure you take all your haircuts already before Shabbos on Friday afternoon, because no one is going to be matter this year Matzah Shabbos. Even the Mekel, who's Rav Moshe, he writes before this year, because it's really Shavuot b'Tammuz, it's not going to work.
Is there any significance to 3 weeks, or that's just made up?
So Pashtus in the Gemara, there's nothing called the 3 weeks. We, Rabbi Salvation, is a whole piece where he brings a right to the Pasuk and Ovi, where we get the idea of the Bein HaMitzarim, Kol Rodi Feres Yigua. How do we get those words? He has a beautiful pshat. We think we spoke about it before. But Meikra Adin in the Gemara, there's no such thing. It's found only in the Rishonim. The Rishonim were the first ones to develop this idea of certain restrictions during the 3 weeks. That's why the Sfarim disagree.
From the Shiva, sorry, till after Tisha B'Av, 3 weeks and a day.
That's correct. Okay, in the Mishnayos, all you find is either starting from the month of Av, Shavu Shechalbay, and Erev Tishma. That's all we have. This additional is already Medina Dirishayim. So Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say over from his father Shtikl Torah. I think that's the way they quote it. In the Shuri Harav, they have it from his father. And that was his chiddush. That the 3 weeks, the 9 days, they all represent real avelus. So Erev Tisha B'Av is like a real avel. Then you have the Shavu. I saw two different versions. Either starting from Rosh Chodesh or starting from Shavu Shechalbay. Different neschoyes I saw. I think it's Shavu Shechalbay is supposed to be like the Shiva. And then the 3 weeks is supposed to be like Yud Beis Chodesh. That's the way it goes. And Ramesh Salvechik has to be Chiddush Lefiza. He holds that since everyone is not makbid on taking haircuts during Yud Beis Chodesh, so he thinks you can take haircuts and you can shower. You know, a bunch of Chiddushim. All this we talked about before. I want to talk about my favorite topic. When does the fast day start and fast day end? We spoke about this before. It's always worth chazering. Says the Shulchan Aruch number 13. Kol tainis shaloi shok olav chama. Any tainis that does not hit shkia, which means it doesn't go till Tzeisik Chavim. That's not what the Gemara says. The Shulchan Aruch is adding his own interpretation of the Gemara. The Gemara says in Masechet Tainis, Kol Tainis Shloi Shokol of Chama Loi Shmei Tainis. What does that mean, Shloi Shokol of Chama? So we had a few weeks ago in a Shir, there's a Tosfos in Zvachim, Rabbeinu Tam in Zvachim, that says that whenever it says the word Shokol of Chama, it doesn't always mean the same thing. Sometimes that can mean Shkia, sometimes that can mean Tzeisik Chavim. Rabbeinu Yonah in Baruchah said that when it says that that you're not allowed to daven mincha, you could daven mincha up till the shkia and daven ma'ariv afterwards. That shkia meant shkia, not Tzeisik Chavim. Says Rabbeinu Tam, but sometimes shkia means Tzeisik Chavim, like here. Here shkia means Tzeisik Chavim. So the Shulchan Aruch understood that any fast day must go through Tzeisik Chavim. So you can't end the fast day before Tzeisik Chavim. When is Tzeisik Chavim? Says the Ramah, Tehainu sheyiru gimel kechavim benim. You'll see three average size stars. That's a Tzeisik Chavim. Okay, so the fast day has to end at Tzeisik Chavim. When exactly would you see three average stars today? So it depends where you look. So Ramosha has his tshuva that Ramosha says for fast days we wait 15 minutes. Ramosha says if someone's having a hard time, they can wait 41 minutes. Others say, no, we measure the stars. I think it comes out to be around 9:02. If you use the stars, here in New York, it comes out to be around 9:02 if you use Kechavim Beinim. But the Aruch HaShulchan is of the opinion, a big chiddush. The Aruch HaShulchan writes number 14, Lefi Zeh, nearly in his daiti. He calls the whole Machloikis Rishayim, had to learn the Gemara. The Shulchan Aruch took sides. That Shkia meant Tzeisik Chavim. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, it's not so pashut. And he concludes, Tahasayim Michal Rabbi Seinu Eil Lissanas Rakat Ben Ashmoshes, Ein Maznichin Oisei. For those people that conclude the fast at Shkia, don't be so quick to judge them. Maybe they're not so bad. I don't know. I sometimes would use this Aruch HaShulchan if someone's having a hard time fasting. And they make it through Shkia. I'd say, okay, Genuk, you made it through Shkia. You yates according to all those Rishayim. Rav Moshe says you should still wait 41 minutes after Shkia. I say maybe you can be Semech on the Aruch HaShulchan for those that are having difficult time fasting. Aruch HaShulchan says that Ein Maznichin, I say. So maybe a Shasat Chak is, you know, maybe someone could be Meko. What I did find this year, which was interesting, was from the Nitta Gavriel, of Gavriel Tzinner. He has tons and tons of Sfarim. They're always interesting and exciting. His sources are somewhat more contemporary often. He considers himself a Talmud of the Papa Rebbe. He's a Papa Chassid. He's a Gevaldik. His form are terrific. So he writes, this is number 15. I'm not saying everything he writes is halacha l'maisa, but just as a maramakim, I have a friend of mine who told me he's a Talmud of Rabbi Simon. So he once asked Rabbi Simon, what do you do when you need a good kula? He said, look at Nitta Gavriel. That's what I do. So I guess Rabbi Simon thinks that we can be Samech on the Nitta Gavriel. Nitta Gavriel is a very chashvid. He's a very down-to-earth person also. I was told by Chassidim that he's a very down, he understands the world, he understands, you know, what's going on in the world today. He's supposedly a very down-to-earth, a very pride. He's a young fellow. He's in his 60s. I think he has a shul in Borough Park. He wrote a lot of svarim with a very nice marmakim. So in any case, so number 15, Nitta Gavriel writes this was a chiddush to me this year. He writes, Bachurim b'nei yudgimul shonim v'naris b'nois yudbei shonim. The young people that just started fasting for the first time, they had a bar mitzvah, you know, like right before Shavuos HaBetamah, the bas mitzvah right before. Shezat hischilus, it's their first fast. The atan is kashalem. And obviously it's hard, because it's really long and it's really hot. Said that it's going to be yichoyim lehokal lechol chatzi shachar shkia. They can all break the fast a half an hour after shkia. So he's not willing to go like my Aruch HaShulchan and start after shkia, he thinks a half an hour. Where did he pull that out of a hat? So he has Shalos and Shuvos in the back of a sefer, he explains. And he tanya is the svek sveka. Okay, what's the svek sveka? So he says, first of all, let's assume, like the Shulchan Aruch, that you have to end the fast at Tzeisik Chavim. Well, when is Tzeisik Chavim? According to the Vilna Gaon and the Gaonim, Seitz Chav Mis, three quarters of a mil is Seitz Chav. Well, how long is three quarters of a mil? So there's three different shittas. 18 minutes, 21 minutes, whatever it's going to be. So he says, according to them, you are Yotze within a half an hour. On top of that, he says, maybe we can be Samech on the other Rishonim, that you can just wait till Shkia. So he passes Allah Almighty's Bitsir of a Svek Sveka. It's a real creative Svek Sveka. He thinks that you can paskin and be maker for them to break their fast after half an hour. So I guess this could be relevant. Let's say a person having a very difficult time fasting. So the Chayyim can do the same shtickle Torah. Rav Moshe said, if you're having a hard time, you got to wait 41 minutes after Shkia. Said that Nitha Gavriel, he thinks maybe you could wait half an hour after the Shkia. I think maybe even less. Pisamich on the Aruch HaShulchan. After Shkia, you could perhaps break the fast. That's what a... No, so Safig, if we paskin that you need Shkia at all, and if you do need Shkia, maybe this is the right Shkia. Maybe it's the right Tzitzik Chavim. Maybe this is the right Tzitzik Chavim already. Right. He's picking and choosing slightly. We spoke it many times before about when the fast day starts. The fast day starts, everyone agrees that Alois HaShachar. The point of disagreement is when is Alois HaShachar. So we always mention that there's two shittas out there, what I call the correct one and the incorrect one. The correct one is that we use degrees. 16.1 degrees below the horizon is Alois HaShachar. Then there's the other shita that's 72 minutes after the Nates, no matter what time of the year it is, no matter where you live, it's a standard 72 minutes. There's a big discrepancy when it comes to a fast day. The one that goes 16.1 degrees, holds it around 3:59 or 4 a.m., is Alois HaShachar Sunday. The other shita has it close to 4:30. That's a big time. So according to those that hold it 16.1 degrees, if a guy wakes up at 4:15, he's not allowed to eat. And for that matter, if he eats at 4:15, he's technically eating on a fast day, which we'll talk about maybe in a few minutes. So this is when it comes out to be a chumrah. So I suggest, in my shul, we put down the only zman for the fast is the 16.1. Shlomo Miller, big poisik in Toronto, he wrote a letter where he says you can't be machshel the people. Got to give them all the information. You got to at least let them know that this is the proper, correct zman for Alois HaShachar. Most of the shuls today, they have the second zman posted, the 4:29 or whatever it is. So I'm not here to argue with the other rabbonim, but maybe l'chumra, we should try to be careful to get the first zman of Alois HaShachar. Again, I don't know if anyone's getting up that early. It's very early this time of the year. For the other fast days, it's more negeah. It's pretty early. For some people, they're first going to sleep on a Masi Shabbos at 4 o'clock in the morning. But it's kedai, I think, kedai to be machmir to not eat after the 16.1 degrees. You go on my zmanim, they'll give you both zmanim. Another shayla that comes up, perhaps more on Shavuos Abatamuz than on other fast days, is let's say you travel on Shavuos Abatamuz. So there's two ways you can travel. You can either lose or gain. So the Achranin to Ramosha talks about both ways, but we'll talk in a second. Let's say you take a flight off of Eretz Yisrael. So you leave Eretz Yisrael, let's say, Motzei Shabbos, and you arrive in America. So by the time you're in America, you have much more to go left to the fast. You left Eretz Yisrael. They were, if you're counting your Eretz Yisrael time, the fast is already over, but you're now in America. So they asked Ramosha, how does it work? Do you look at where you started, or do you look at where you end? How do you calculate a fast day? So Rav Moshe wrote over here, number 16, he says, "V'dover shino hayom ben amedinos ubenesia be'airplane, magia bezman kotze lemedinos haruchakos, shele pa'omim nimtza hashayim aruch lo'i b'yoyse." You can have a very long fast day. You're going to be fasting for a lot of hours. "U'lepa'omim kotze b'yoyse." And if you go the right direction, you're shortening your fast day. So Rav Moshe says like this, "Kosho lo'ashev, ki ein al zeh mekari mamshim b'dover rabbeseinu." There wasn't much to talk about. It never happened like that. Until the creation of the airplanes, this child was an obsolete child. You were in a boat. You never got there until you got there. It was never negeh. Because of air travel, now this becomes a real child. So Rav Moshe says, I have nothing to work with. I just have to use svara. So what's my svara, says Rav Moshe? Aval kaponim oshav anir l'nitayti b'svara shal inyan atayis mis'ane b'en l'kul b'en l'chumra atzis g'chav m'shu b'makim shenim tza'oz. So Rav Moshe, I think logic dictates you work with where you are now. I don't care where you started, I care where you are right now. So if right now you're in America, you gotta go till America. I was in Eretz Yisrael last night and I started Shavuos Matamuz in Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't matter. You're in America, you gotta use America. Says Rav Moshe, it's a kula and a chumra. Says Rav Moshe, it goes both ways. Bein l'kula, bein l'chumra. Atzei z'chum. V'av shalapam hu rak shos muatin. So if you fly the right direction on Shavuos Matamuz, right, how would it work? You'd fly from here to Eretz Yisrael. Right, you go the right direction, you can have a very, very short Shavuos Matamuz. Says Moshe, it doesn't matter. It's not about hours. It's about location where you are. Says Moshe, Mishum Shloim Nikva Atayres Ad Choyz Elad Yoyim Shu Ayat Seizik Chavim. V'chein B'tanis Shal Tishabav. Tell me what I mean. I didn't have a 24 hours Tisha B'Av. So it doesn't matter because you change time. You change time distances. Doesn't make a difference. Nami and Tzarech L'Sas Yosim it says a Chum Shal Or Lasiu. Rav Moshe says you don't go beyond the day. You don't have to fast 26 hours or wherever you want. That's Rav Moshe's shita about fast days. Rav Shmuel Vosner has a different approach. Rav Shmuel Vosner says, let's say you travel from Eretz Yisrael to America. So Shmuel Vosner writes in number 17, Va'asher Sho'al b'mishen osei le'America b'yem tainus u'kamay b'yudzayim b'tamuz helmu chayv lotzim oid eser shoyis ad shu tzei z'chavim b'America o'shem azlin abasa t'chilas ha'tainus. Maybe you go by where you started. You don't work with where you are. So he says le'chezmen like this. He says, Aval idach kimish ha'tainus stam she'chayv v'inei orach kokach. It's not so long. But most fast days we can handle it. To tack on an extra 7 or something hours to the fast day, that's too much. So therefore, says Reb Shmuel Vosner, if it's going to be an additional significant amount of hours, says Reb Shmuel Vosner, you can be makel to end it where you started. So I had a Talmud call me up, maybe it was last year, 2 years ago. He took a flight from New York to San Francisco on Shavuos Batamas. So San Francisco, he went the wrong direction. He just added on 3 hours to his day. So he told me he wants to end the fast earlier because he started in New York, took a flight to San Francisco, now he's got to go a bunch of... So I told him, I said, you should have made better plans before you started. So even if Shmuel Vosner, again, Shmuel Vosner, I don't know if you'd say 3 hours is enough. He's talking about 7 hours, 8 hours. So again, if you're not feeling well, you're not feeling well. So I told him, I said, I'm sorry, if Moshe wasn't Mekel, and even if Shmuel Vosner that was Mekel, I don't know if 3 hours is enough. It sounded like him was only significant, 7, 8 hours. The contemporary Poskim, Shmuel Kamenetsky and others, they seem to hold like with Moshe, that you got to church, you got to plan your trip better than going on to San, again, to go the other way is more geshmak. Right, leave California to come to New York. Now that's already a much smarter move. You leave California in the middle of the fast day, you'll come in, you'll shave 3 hours, which to which Moshe said is not a problem. Okay, so these are some of the shahs that regard to traveling on Shavuos Batamas. I feel people travel more on Shavuos Batamas because it's the summer. Asar Batavis, people travel also because it's sometimes around the secular holidays. So there's a lot of travel then also. Tanis Esther knows really going all that far. Okay, so what I wanted to talk about tonight was something we have not yet spoke about in the past, but I think it's perhaps very relevant, specifically for those that are involved in a shul, kaboyim, and other people. These are some halachas they should be aware of. Shulchan Aruch writes in number 18, that koyrin vayichal bishachus ubemincha. Why do we lane on a fast day? So it comes from the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says we're supposed to lane vayichal moishe, the parasha of Kriyas HaTainis. That's read on shachris and mincha. It doesn't matter if the fast day falls out on a day. Let's say this year falls out on Sunday. So there's no laning anyway, so you lane vayichal. What happens if Shavuos Batamos falls out on Monday? And Monday is supposed to lane the Parsha HaShavua. Says the Shulchan Aruch, no, Parsha HaShavua loses out, we lane vayichal. Fine. Says the Ramah, u'maftirin b'mincha, and there's a haftarah by the mincha. If you notice, the Shulchan Aruch didn't say a word about haftarah b'mincha. He just said, we lane vayichal. Says the Ramah, no, but don't forget, by mincha we also read a haftarah. Dirshu, u'bishachris e maftir. But we don't have the haftarah by shachris, chos mitisha b'av, except for tisha b'av, that's when we have the haftarah. So the Beis Yosef writes at number 19, now, we know that the Shulchan Aruch didn't mention anything about having a haftarah by mincha. So the Beis Yosef writes, v'yesh b'koy m'shenogu l'haftir, v'yesh nogu shlina, shaloi l'haftir. V'akol l'fi ha'mineg ha'min. So right away he tells you, you should know that not every community had a haftarah by mincha on a regular fast day. Then he says, he thinks it's mashma death from the Rambam. Perikid Gimel Hilchos Tefila Nirish Eimaftirin B'Shum Tainis Loi B'Shachas Loi B'Mincha Ela B'Tisha B'Av B'Shachas B'Vad. It was only by Tisha B'Av. V'Chein Kasev Rab David Abu Draham Shekasev L'Haftir B'Mincha Tisha B'Av V'Chein Minag B'Nei Sfarad. Said the Beis, that's Sfaradish Minag. What? Shei L'Haftir B'Shum Tainis Loi B'Shachas V'Loi B'Mincha Chutz Min Tisha B'Av Shemaftirin By B'Shachas U'Mincha. Concludes the Beis Yosef, Sfaradish Jews only have a haftarah by one. That's a Tisha B'Av, Shachris and Mincha, but not on a regular fasting. Okay, so you'll say, so very nice. So the way it used to be, when like this is what Basha Weiss pointed out with the whole Shaila with kidneys. So it used to be Sfaradim Ashkenazim all lived in separate communities. So you never were tempted to deal with the Shaila of being invited to a Sfaradi's house to eat kidneys. It never came up. It used to be Sfaradim Ashkenazim never daven in the same shuls. Today, Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael was so wonderful. Sfaradim daven Ashkenazim, Ashkenazim with Sfaradim. So what happens if you have a Sfaradi fellow in your shul and you want to give him maftir on Shavuos Batamas? Are you allowed to give it to him? For him, this is an unnecessary reading. This is a big shaila that should come again. I live in Queens. There's a lot of Sfardim in Queens. So you got to take into consideration. When you're a Gabbai, you have to know these things. So what do you do? So the Yaskil Avdi was a Sfardish Apoisik. You got to keep this in mind also. This is where it gets a little tricky. The Yaskil Avdi was a Sfardish Apoisik. He lived right before. He was the big Poisik before Rabbi Avad Yosef. He died in 1950. He was one of the Rabbonim, the big Poisikim in Eretz Yisrael. So he was asked this shaila. He writes, when you give him maftir, can he make the berachas avtayrus? Says he asked, no problem. You can call him up. Why? He says, because why don't Sfardim read the avtayr? Because tirch de tzibura. It wasn't fear to ask all the shuls to have avtayr, because there are people that have to work. He says, but this guy obviously doesn't care about Tech de Tzibura, because he went to an Ashkenazi minion. If you're worried about time, why would you go to an Ashkenazi minion knowing that they're going to read the Haftarah? So he said, Yaskalavdi, now that you decided to jump into the other camp, Bishlama, if this was a Hashkafic question, and we thought this is not right, and they thought this was right, fine. But this was a practicality. Svardim thought that we can't bother the people. Ashkenazim thought you could bother the people. So Tanya the Yaskalavdi, and since you decided to, you were willing to give enough time to Mincha, he thinks there's no problem whatsoever. He thinks it does not present a problem without an issue. Fine. So according to the Ashkalavdi, and this is the way Rabbi Avad Yosef paskins, this is the way his son paskins, no problem, call up the Svardi from after, you don't have to worry. If you look at number 21, the sefer called Kare Alai Moed, they quote from Rabbi Yashiv. He quotes Bukuntris Halichas and Hogas are going to be Yashiv Shlitosh Kosev Shesvardi Ein Yochel Alis Lamafti B'Minyan Ashkenazim. So now you're really torn. So if you're an Ashkenazi, you follow Rabbi Yashiv, you can call him up. But if you're a Svardi, so for Svardim it is okay. So I don't know what you're supposed to do. Allah Lamaisa, I'm not sure. Rabbi Yashiv says don't call him up. The Yaskalavdi says to call him up. So I guess probably better not to call him up. But if he gets called up, I definitely think he could say it according to those Shitas Apoisk. Ephraim Grima talks about an interesting shaila, which I don't understand it to be much of a shaila, but we'll read it. He writes number 22. He says, he says, one year I davened for the Omer on Tzem Gedalia, v'kibalti haftir, and I was the maftir, I got the third aliyah, v'amarti miyad yehalu v'chnasi ha-sevetir. I forgot that he's supposed to be the haftir, and I took the sevetir back to the Omer, and I was ready to say Kaddish. V'shachachti lo yimar haftir. V'nistapachti ma lasois. He wasn't sure what should he do now. Should I retake out the Sefer Torah? I don't understand the Shaila, personally. I don't know what the Sefer Torah has to do with the Haftarah. If we were Masakah to read Haftarah, so we read Haftarah. The fact that the Sefer Torah is not out, it is out. I'm not sure what the Shaila was. So he writes, V'chlati ala atar. I paskin on the spot. Which is very hard to do. I never realized how hard it is to paskin on the spot until you become a rabbi in a shul. It is very difficult. To paskin on the spot and everyone's staring at you and everyone's looking at you. It's not an easy thing. I appreciate these lines of Vechlalti al Atar. The cry after, Ephraim Gibbat said, do it right now. Let's read after. That's not right to take the Sefer Torah out again. And then, like he does in many of his tshuvas, he sent the shout to other people. And he quotes from his good friend, Ephraim Kanievsky. Ephraim Kanievsky told him, Toivasa, you did good. Okay, I would have thought like that also. I think that makes sense. But halacha l'maaseh, if it ever comes up in a shul, you should just know, just read the haftarah right then, it's not a problem. Interesting thing is we know that in the laning of the Tanis Tzibur, there are some additions, not additions, but there's some parts of the Kriya that we, the Tzibur, read out loud. So the Mishnah Berurah writes over in number 23, a halacha which I don't think so many people know about. He writes, Masha hakal oimim shuv mecharen apecho, derech bakosh, v'chein Hashem Hashem karachum, v'chanon, ha'oila l'toyre v'chein ha'chazin ha'koyrei, says the Mishnah Berurah, however, the one who got the aliyah and the chazin, ain oimer oisa psukin ha'makohol. This is always, you look at the guy who gets mafti, he doesn't always know this. Says the Mishnah Berurah, you do not read it along with him. You keep quiet. You do not read it with the tzibur. Similarly, we had a share a while ago where same thing, if you get the maftir, if you get the shvi'i on chazak, you do not say chazak, chazak with them. When I was one of my first weeks in my shul, I had a boss, a wonderful fellow. So he was standing right by the bima at the maftir for the chazak, chazak. So I asked him, why are you standing? He says, I want to see what you're going to do with chazak, chazak. Do you know that you're not supposed to say chazak, chazak? So I told him, luckily I gave a share in it a few weeks ago, so I knew the answer. But you're not supposed to. That's considered a hefsek. So here it's not a hefsek, but here it's also not right, says the Mishnah Berurah. So he says, well, what do you do? Rak achakach kishesayim hakol oz kaira achazin ima oyla b'teira. Read it again with the Balkaira. Just like the Balkaira is going to repeat it, you repeat it also. But then he writes, v'roi lizor shashachzi b'yamtin ashishayim ukulam. Another problem. Sometimes the Balkaira in such a rush, they don't wait. Half the people are still saying their thing and you're going weiter. That's not right. You have to wait till everyone can hear from the Torah. So this is an interesting halacha. Again, for the Balkaira, it's not so relevant because he repeats it anyways. But for the oyla, a lot of people didn't realize, the oyla, the one who gets the maftir, he should not recite it with the rest of the community, even though it's very tempting. Everyone else is saying it, you keep quiet and you'll say it again with the shlich, with the Balkari when he reads the rest of the Torah. Now let's talk about another Shiloh that I think is somewhat relevant, depending on where you daven. Sometimes sometimes you can't always pick the mincha. Sometimes you'll daven, let's say, for example, with a mixed minion of people. You'll have some from or less from, some are older, some are not so healthy. Not everyone is fasting. So this is another thing the Gabbai has to know. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Yesh Mishoimer, Shein Oimed Likroi B'Torah B'Tanetziba Mishlo Yisaneh. You should not call up someone for an aliyah if he's not fasting. You gotta know this. If you know there's a cheb, you know someone in the shul, you know he's not healthy. He's whatever the ailment he has an ailment, so he don't call him up. What about if he's the kohen? Vim hakohen ain't a misana. Let's say he's the kohen. So yotza hakohen mesek neses. The kohen should leave the shul. For oyimid likus b'tor Yisrael hamisana. Instead, give Yisrael who's fasting. So the question is, when are we talking about? Is this talking about Kriyas HaTorah Shachris, Mincha, if Shavas B'Tamas is a Sunday, if Shavas B'Tamas is a Monday? So the Mishnah Berurah goes through all the different Cheshbon, and he says, one second, if we're talking about Shachris, and it's a Monday, you have to lane anyways. So you got to lane out Monday. So the fact that he gets up and lanes, the oil is not doing something incorrect, he needs to lane out the Monday lane. But Mincha, says the Mishnah Berurah, Mincha or Sunday, like this year. It's more, right. It's more likely that he's fasting. But if it were to be...
Since the time is laning, you're not laning the
regular... Right. So the Mishnah Berurah passes Halacha L'maisa that if it's a regular Sunday like today, this year, Yitaka shouldn't go up. He concludes, unless you're a Talmud Chacham, you're the rabbi of the shul. If you don't go up, everyone goes, the rabbi's not fasting. So then you're ready, the Mishnah Berurah says that...
Right.
So then the Mishnah Berurah makes... But other than that, so I joke, it's the Gabbai's job is to know who's fasting and who's not fasting. Don't put anyone in this uncomfortable predicament. If you know there are people that are not fasting, you should not call them up. I had a Talmud Aman, an interesting Shaila. He's on medication for mental health, for anxiety and depression. And he told me he needs to take the medication on the fast day because it has effect days later. So I wasn't sure if that's necessarily begeder or chayla. So I spoke to a certain rabbi. He told me it was. So I said, fine. So I told him, you know, you're not fasting. Just remember, don't get called up for an aliyah. So he said, oh, that's not a problem. I daven in a big shul. They never give me an aliyah anyways. But if you daven in a small shul, you got to know this. Either step out before or let the gabbai know so we don't run into this sticky situation. The gabbai should know that you're not fasting. If one's not fasting, he shouldn't get an aliyah. What about being the balkaira? So if he's still fasting, then it's then already lechatchila he shouldn't. But b'diavad, if he's called up, he can go. But what about being the balkeira? So that's a machloikus achreinim. Can you be the balkeira if you're not fasting? So many poiskim are mekel. Some are machved the accepted custom. I shouldn't say accepted custom. Many poiskim are mekel to be the balkeira, just not to be the oila. But halacha l'maisa, if you can get someone who's fasting, that's always better. But halacha l'maisa, there's room to be mekel for the balkeira.